2 minutes early. We'll hold up here until 11.
Mr. President, while we're waiting, Mr. Robertson is going to handle the public hearing on this matter. He handled it in planning and zoning. He is also the one who drafted the ordinance at my request because there was potential conflict.
Sure. That's fine, sir. Welcome, Mr. Robertson.
Good morning.
You already got the seat already warm for you, buddy.
That's right. If you'll give me 1 second.
Take your time. We're about to
stand up if you don't.
Oh, no, help. No, sir. Anytime you need to, you please.
Smoke them if you got them.
You stretch anytime you need to.
Seventh inning stretch.
According to my watch, you got about 27 seconds.
If you want to summarize them.
You have one of those Casio watches for?
Calculator. There you are.
My watch right on time, ain't you?
Okay, by this clock up here anyway, we're at 11 o'clock. Time for our public hearing.
Thank you,
Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the time for the public hearing on the ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Section 99-32 of the Code of Sussex County to allow a landowner to perform site work or construct certain improvements without posting a bond or performance guarantee. Mr. Moore has read the basic outlines of how these public hearings are going to be conducted today, but to summarize, staff will explain the ordinance and any comments that have been received, as well as a recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Council will have an opportunity to ask any questions or comment on it at that point. Then we'll ask for comments from the audience. At the conclusion of those comments, we'll see if council has any more questions or comments, and then we'll close the public hearing, and council may act on the ordinance by approving it, denying it, or deferring it for further consideration. With that having been said, Mr. Lank, if you want to proceed.
Yes, thank you. The ordinance today is an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Section 99-32 of the Code of Sussex County to allow a landowner to perform site work or construct certain improvements without posting a bond or performance guarantee. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on December 15th of 2011. In the process of that public hearing, Mr. Robertson advised the commission that this amendment was originally discussed administratively and summarized the bonding needs for project to proceed with construction. The bonding protects third-party purchasers. That the proposed ordinance amendment carves out an exception to the land development bonding requirements for a landowner constructing improvements on his or her own property. That no lots can be transferred and no building permits will be issued until the work is completed or guarantees are provided. And that building permits are easier to police than the transfer of properties. And Mr. Robertson continued by suggesting that the amendment could include amended language in subsection D-I by deleting the word approved and replacing it with substantial completion. By adding a sentence at the end of the existing language and in quotations, in the event no bond or other guarantee is provided, a notice in the form acceptable to the county attorney shall be recorded in the Office of Recorder of Deeds, putting the public on notice that no transfer or sale of lots is permitted in the development until such bond or other guarantee is provided as required by this section. And that the ordinance be reviewed by council 2 years after its adoption for effectiveness. The commission discussed the ordinance amendment. The commission found that there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this ordinance amendment. And Mr. Robertson stated that he had a proposed motion and stated that the motion would be to move that the commission recommend approval of the ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Section 99-32 of the Code regarding bonds and performance guarantees with the following suggestions. 1, that subsection DI be amended to reference substantial completion instead of approved. 2, that the ordinance be amended to include the following language at the end of the existing language, and again in quotes, in the event no bond or other guarantee is provided, A notice in the form acceptable to the county attorney shall be recorded in the office of the recorder of deeds, putting the public on notice that no transfer or sale of lots is permitted in the development until such bond or guarantee is provided as required by this section. And three, that the ordinance be reviewed by council 2 years after its adoption for effectiveness. It was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the county council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be adopted as read by Mr. Robertson, and that motion carried 5-0. Now, since the public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I think all but one of my correspondence that I've received to date has been one letter in support and 29 in opposition. They were all received by emails except one. And most of them are short. They just was copying right before the meeting started again today, and I didn't get a chance to copy them for everybody, so I'll hand them out to Mr. Robertson so he can pass them down for your consideration and review. As I stated, they were all in emails. The first one's short. It states, I amend, support the amending of Chapter 99, Section 99-32. Please vote for passage. That was signed by Jim Bailey. The other 29 are either in letter form or email form in opposition, and they express a lot of concerns about the passage of an ordinance to allow construction of a project without bonds to guarantee. There's some have a little bit of length. Majority of them are fairly short. And they consider it a bad idea. I'm just paraphrasing, so. Dangerous thing to do. It is similar to banks giving mortgages to unqualified applicants. And they're basically short. It'd be easier just passing that as you go through the public hearing process.
And while Lawrence is handing those up, just a brief bit of explanation on this. First of all, I want to make clear to council and as well to the members of the audience, based on these that I reviewed, this proposed ordinance does not eliminate bonding. It doesn't do that at all. The bonding requirements in Chapter 99 are designed, as my comments to Planning and Zoning said, to protect third parties. And so what this does is essentially postpones the bonding requirements until there would be third parties that would come into play on a development. So you could do work on your own property up until the point that you wanted to get a building permit or transfer a lot. At that point, then you would not be able to do either one of those things unless you posted a bond, a letter of credit, or a cash bond, which we've seen some folks doing. The benefits of that to a developer are that they don't eliminate the ability or the need for them to post a bond, but they can do some of the work themselves and therefore reduce the cost of that bond for the remaining work. And there was questions in some of these letters, how do we know what the remaining work is? For both sewer work and site work, the county has agreements that have been developed with regard to sewer work several years ago that have been in place that govern inspections and how this work is performed. And then more recently, with regard to site work, roads and stormwater management, that type of thing, there's an agreement that's been developed that's in place, and that governs inspections. So what would have to happen is before any transfer could occur, any building permit could occur, the county, the appropriate department of the county, would go out and inspect that project, do an estimate of the work that needs to be done, tell the developer, this is the amount of that work that remains to be done. They would have to post a bond for 125% of that work that needs to be done. Once that occurs, then they can transfer a lot or get a building permit to build a home within the development. And both of those agreements would cover how that would be done. One of the things that I've learned from county engineering, and I just wanted to make it clear on the record today, is that built into those agreements is going to be the need for some time period. There's a little bit of a concern with county engineering that somebody says, I've got a settlement tomorrow, tell me how much my bond's going to be, and that's not going to be workable. I just wanted to make everybody clear that there's going to have to be some period of time in that agreement, whether it's 10 days, 15 days, or 30 days, something like that, so that everybody can get on the same page for the amount of time to do those inspections, determine the amount of bonding, and then move forward with the county and the developer in continuing with the project. So I wanted to make those points clear before really we got into the public comment.
I got a question, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Cole.
You mentioned that they could do this work, right, and then they get to a certain point, and then we'd go in and figure out what they needed to be done. We'd bond that. The earlier work, let's just say this took 10 years. Say they put in some, they did some work on the site, and then there it sat. And, you know, there's a long time lapse. And all of a sudden, you know, who's going to go back and check the quality of that work if it still, you know, meets any kind of our standards, if it deteriorated? See, that would be an issue that would concern me, that it's the work done earlier before the bonding, because we do have a little leverage once we get the bond to get things straightened up. But if we don't have bonding on the first section of work and a long number of years go by, what's the guarantee that?
Well, I can't say, you know, moving forward, but I know that there's been that situation in the past where the county won't give, I don't think they'll allow building permits to be pulled. I can think of a couple developments where, like on sewer work, they'll have the county engineering folks go out and require the developer to run video cameras through the lines, mm-hmm, because it sat there to make sure that it still works. And I think that would apply regardless whether there's bonds or not.
But to get the work corrected, usually we do that. We still have the money sitting somewhere that we could correct some of those issues. But if we don't have any money, how do you go back and get the financial wherewithal to correct those issues?
Well, if they didn't correct them, they wouldn't get a building permit.
That's right.
So you wind up with roads to nowhere.
They're losing them on their land.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
It's totally their property.
Well, I think that that's not that much different than the analysis that the county goes through now on a project with bonding. And having participated in some of those reviews of projects, if there is a development now that is bonded, but there's not been any lots sold, you know, I mean, I think the county, again, looks at, who are we protecting here?
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah,
I mean,
I,
we're not going to go then do the work to finish the development to benefit the developer when there's not been a lot sold. So,
but eventually, there would be a third party, and that's what we're concerned with here.
That's where the bond comes in. Up till then, there is no need for a bond if there's no third party.
Would the bond stand behind the initial work, the site work, the roads, the sewer?
The way the agreements work now, they do, and there's actually warranty periods built into that as well. So
into the bond that's purchased just prior to selling lots or getting a building.
That would be part of the estimate that would be done by county engineering or planning and zoning, depending on which.
So the bond would stand by the work done in the site plan. Okay, in the site work. Okay.
Sure. And substantial completion. For years, we've had trouble with good definitions. Do we have a good definition of what that means?
We do in both those agreements, the Ordinance 38 agreements,
okay,
and the site work agreements.
Okay.
And that's why that change was made, so that it tracked through both the agreements.
Right. And could you give us an example when you said a notice in the form of acceptable to the county attorney? Now, county attorneys change. Are you going to have the same level of notice that
soon.
Everett would or anybody else? I mean, could you give us an example of what you mean by that? I mean,
And Everett and I talked a little bit about just sort of what that notice, the form would be. You know, currently there's a process, you know, if you're a landowner and you're involved in litigation, there's a document called a notice of lis pendens. It's a judicial document that's filed in the recorder deeds. It's basically a page long that puts folks on notice that this land is subject to court proceedings. It would kind of follow that same form. It would be a simple one-page notice that says, no properties may be transferred within this development. There'd be a legal description and tax parcel numbers so that anybody who bought one, when they do a title search, they would know that they would not be able to get title of this based upon this notice, so they should not. And if they don't get a title search, like anybody, they proceed at their own risk.
I would recommend that we have a notice that is acceptable to all, you know, whoever the county attorney, mm-hmm, is, as opposed to whoever's sitting there, you know, well, I don't like this a little bit or something. Like, don't you start tweaking?
No, and that's the idea would be to make one uniform
one
notice.
Okay,
that you
okay,
fill in the
okay,
name of the development, the legal description of it,
okay,
you know, but the form stays the
but
same
to know period. About it, you'd have to go to the courthouse and research it.
But any time a transfer of real estate happens, there should be a title search. I mean, and I say should be because there's lawyers involved, and that's what we do because we have to issue title insurance and make sure a good title conveys. So that's not something out of the ordinary on a transfer of a lot or property.
Would this ordinance prevent the developer from receiving deposits on lots in escrow?
It would not. That I'm aware of, that I can think of. However, because that's contractual between a developer and a property or a potential purchaser.
But a lot of these potential purchasers don't do the research, and then the next thing you know, they sign something, and they find out later.
Right.
I know what she's alluding to, because we had some lots where a guy sold the lots and then couldn't get sewer, and anyway, there was, you know, what's down there, Millville. That is a good question. I hate that everything we do here is buyer beware, you know, for the public, but somebody can be sitting down with this guy or with somebody in an office, here's a great deal to buy a lot, and then they can't get their money back from the guy. And then they turn to us, why did we allow this to happen? So is there a better way to, for notification, I don't know how, as opposed to somebody having to, you know, pull a title search?
Yeah, that's something that, you know, I'm sort of put on the spot on as far as notification, because ultimately it goes back to, that they can't sell or transfer the lot. And I realize that, and you're concerned about the deposits. I don't know that we don't have that situation potentially now.
Oh, I think we do.
So I don't know that that risk is any different now than it is with this ordinance amendment.
Well, at least the risk now is if these subdivisions, we do have bonds on all this stuff. Now we're saying we're getting to a situation where there isn't any,
well, that's
any
true.
Leverage on the guy.
But at the same time, you know, I suppose somebody out there could take deposits on a subdivision that doesn't even have a notice to proceed yet,
right.
You know, and there's
I guess.
Same risk.
I mean, you do real estate. I mean, I'm just saying, you don't see any red flags here? Even though we do it a lot now, is it a concern? We got to think about the consumer a little bit.
Yeah.
You could have lots, metered out, and they could be looking at roads and see the lots and put a deposit on a particular lot that's visible. So.
You know, I just go back to, I don't know that it's that this ordinance changes the circumstances that exist now.
Mm-hmm. You know, exactly. I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
We're asking questions now. Public hearing.
I do have one more too.
Cole.
I need to apologize. Earlier, I had in my mind about this two-year thing, but this is kind of where I was when I was reading things at home driving back from Wilmington, or at whatever, yesterday, when I got my letter opener to open this stuff.
Oh, that's good.
The two-year review. Why don't we just... My understanding, we're doing this because of the economic conditions. We're doing a lot of things right now because of the times we are living in. My concern is 2 years go by and the times have changed. We're back to normal. We had a previous system that seemed to work. We had a lot of development in this county where people put up bonds and did it the way we've always been doing it, and there was no problem. All of a sudden now we have one guy, you know, gets a hold of somebody and says, you know, hey, how about if I do it this way? And all of a sudden now we're changing the whole ordinance, and now we're going to review it in 2 years. Couldn't we sunset it in 2 years? That was the thing I was concerned about. I had it mixed up with the other ordinance earlier on with benefits, but I'm concerned about stuff like this gets on the books and then it is just go forever, and we're doing it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if the reason is legitimate, if that is your real reason, then let's say in 2 years we just readopt it.
I think there's a problem.
No, is that a problem?
No, that's not a problem, I don't think. And that was the sort of the nexus for that recommendation from planning and zoning.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I was talking to Rodney about it and stuff, and he had those same concerns and stuff. So what I would like to do is if this ordinance we're looking at, is there some way that we could put in wording about that this ordinance would sunset in 2 years?
I don't see no reason to sunset.
I know, but
it is private property. It's his own private property. And it looks like the man can do to his own property.
Speak into the mic, not very good.
I think it's his own private property. I think as long as he does what the county expects him to do, and the sewer people come by and check the sewer and whatever he's doing, I can't see the argument of why we're trying to take property rights away from private people.
Well, All like my only response
to
this.
I mean, we're getting involved in people. We're thinking, well, these people, you're looking at a third party is capable of doing nothing for themselves. That's what you're saying, George.
Sam, with all the development we've had in this county, we've had one person bring this up, and here we are today.
But we've had anybody got fraud on what we're talking about today. We don't have anything to base this on, what we're arguing about.
Then we renew it in 2 years. Renew it permanently, then, if you want to, in 2 years.
I don't see nothing wrong with it.
You can see, but I would just say we're venturing into an area that there's a lot of concern.
I say, I'll put it this way. If we have trouble with this and it's a fraud is being created, then maybe we can come back and bring it back before us and talk about it. But till then, we have no reason to do that.
Wilson's saying we could revoke it in 2 years.
Oh, I understand that, but, you know, taking something away is better. I would rather have it sunset automatically. I like that trigger, and then we will be forced to review it. Planning and zoning's recommended review. Things go on here, gentlemen. If we don't know about it, we forget about it. It gets put on a shelf. We're going to forget about a two-year review. Who's going to do the two-year review?
Well, George, if it's not broken.
Us or the staff, who? I don't even say who reviews it.
You've heard the old saying, if it's not broken, why fix it? Why we keep going?
I understand, but I distrust government sometimes when they adopt things.
You're saying is we need more government because people are not capable of taking care of themselves.
No, this is something the government's doing, Sam, and I just think it ought to sunset.
You are part of the government.
That's why I'm concerned about
it. And you're creating
it.
More government here. Maybe it doesn't need to be involved with
we'll
private people's lives.
We'll discuss that at lunch.
Thank you.
The two of
you.
I do have.
Just the two.
Help me understand something.
Mrs. Deaver.
Now, we're talking about somebody that owns their land. Is it material as to whether they've gone out and gotten a big mortgage on this land or they actually own it outright? Is the equity in the land part of this question? Should it be?
I don't think that that's really part of the question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for
evidence that the potential builder has something substantial behind them. We're saying it's their property, but I have to wonder if it, you know, how much of it is theirs. If it's just somebody who came in and bought new.
Well, again, that sort of occurs currently. I mean, you know.
I guess the bank could own it and still be under the same situation.
Let's just talk one at a time.
It's not going to change whether the bank owns it if they take it back or foreclosure, whether the developer owns it.
Okay.
That really doesn't matter under this. Everybody's going to be held to the same standards.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wilson.
Okay.
Well, he's practically answered it. I was just thinking, if I should be financing that person, that's his problem, my problem. It's not the third party. We're actually one party trying to get this piece of property developed or whatever we're trying to do to it. Mm-hmm. It's still private property. And the third party is not entered in this picture at this point in time, I don't think.
I'm just asking questions. And we're talking about a single owner, not talking about a partnership of many owners. Does that have any bearing on this at all?
Well, no, because, again, that you know we see that now with developers where it's an LLC that develops with multiple members. I mean, so it's going to be...
Yeah, but here we're giving a lot of leeway, so that's why I'm looking at this at these little details to see if they make any difference. Okay, all right, so, okay.
So if it's a partnership that owns the property, the partnership's going to be bound legally, you know, just like they would,
mm-hmm.
you know. If
we treat the partnership as if it were a person.
Legally, you would because they're the record title.
Like a corporation's a person, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else from council?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Lang, did you have anything that you
no.
wanted to add? Then what we'll do is open it up to members of the public. I would ask if there's a spokesperson or an organized group to speak first, and then we'll have members of the public. Gentlemen on the third row from the front. If you could, each person that comes forward, if you could also give your name and place of residence for the record. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Peter Pagani. I currently reside at 22756 Red Bay Lane, Redwood, Milton, Delaware. I'm a registered architect in the state of Delaware and New Jersey. I've been a licensed planner in the state of New Jersey as well. But I'm here as a private landholder. As was pointed out by the board, bonds are here to protect third parties, and that is my concern. Owners of property are very often these days partnerships rather than individual landowners. At least that's been my experience. And these partnerships are formed for very specific portions of projects at times. They have a tendency to be financed only so far as is absolutely necessary for the project. And when things go badly, there's no money left in the pocket. And we're only talking about when things go badly. When everything goes well, as just happens, I'm sure, in the vast majority of cases, there's no issue. We're only talking about cases where things don't go quite as budgeted or as planned. And in that regard, the protections to the third parties, I think, are being weakened by allowing some work to proceed without bonding and guarantees. I think that shifts risk to the people who eventually buy the lots if the LLC has been dissolved or is no longer solvent, and work remains to be done. I'm looking to the board to protect those third parties who may have assumed a risk that they didn't know about and had no say in assuming, because the deal they thought they got was, we're going to get lights and we're going to get sewers and we're going to get streets. If those common elements are not provided and protected by somebody who's going to fund them when the LLC says we're done, then those people may be assessed fees from their homeowner association or other people who are picking up the cost of those improvements that they didn't know they were liable for. And as such, I think they're put in a position of risk to a contract to which they have no party. So I would urge the board to not allow this exception. I understand trying to promote development. I understand the economy. As an architect, I'm involved in very much and have an interest in having a strong construction economy. But I think the risk involved in weakening the bonding requirements overwhelms that. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, sir. Is there another spokesperson who would like to speak? I'm going to ask this young lady who's coming forward first. Come on. She stood up first, too, and ladies first. So.
Good morning. My name is Esther Shelton, and I'm with the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. The League of Women Voters of Sussex County is concerned that the passage of this ordinance would result in the county and the taxpayers bearing the costs of poor construction or uncompleted projects. If the county approves this ordinance, it may leave itself open to lawsuits as well as the cost of finding itself in the construction business. Therefore, the League of Women Voters of Sussex County is opposed to the ordinance to change the bonding and performance guarantee. We ask that the record remain open for further comment.
You ask that the record be left open for further comment? Is that what you said?
I'm sorry.
The last thing you said was you asked that the record be left open for further comment.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here it is. Thank you very much.
And for the benefit of the public, any of these written statements that are handed in are made part of the public record? Yes, sir. Yeah. This man had his hand up next.
Thank you for taking the time to hear me. I understand the purpose of this amendment. I fully understand it. At the present time, it appears that builders and developers are not required to have bonds, or if the bonds expire, nothing is done. The homeowners or residences of communities are left holding the bag. I live in Redwood. My wife and I bought a house 4 years ago, and Mr. Wilson, just for your information, the system is broke. We do not have a bond for the completion of the roads in our area. It appears that the council is somewhat aware of this, but nothing is being done about it. We stand, we, the 70-plus homeowners or lot owners in the area in the Redwood development, stand to be required to complete the work that the developer, Ocean Atlantic, failed to do. And it appears again that there is nothing being done on your part. So if Ocean Atlantic, a developer well-known in this area, who is working, my Lord, on I don't know how many projects, can walk away from a bond requiring completion of road work, then what are other people who come into this area who buy from small builders going to do for themselves? Are they going to be required to do the paving? Are they going to be required to do the curbs, sidewalks, whatever? And it's astounding to me that with the knowledge that you all have of the situation in Redwood, you sit here, you're going to dilute the code even further. That makes absolutely no sense to me. I have a problem understanding who you represent. Do you represent the builders, or do you represent the citizens and homeowners of this county? And if that's a problem for me, it certainly has to be a problem for other people moving into this county from other areas. I thank you for your time. I am speaking wholeheartedly against changing the code. Thank you.
I have a question about that. Tell me whether it's appropriate.
My name is Gordon. My name is Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, Ray Gersh, G-I-E-R-S-C-H. I live at 22707 Persimmon Lane in Milton. It's the Redwood subdivision. And I'm talking for myself and for my wife. Thank you.
If it's appropriate, I wanted to ask where we are with this, because...
With what?
With this Redwood situation.
Well, that's not part of the public hearing.
Well, it can happen everywhere, all over the county. That's my concern. And we're without means to correct it.
I think if you talk to Mr. Lawson, he'll bring up speed on that, but this is not part of the public hearing.
I'm worried about
this. And county engineering as well. Yeah. The next... Yes, sir, if you'd come forward.
Hopefully I've done this right.
Fine. Just start with your name and residence, and you'll be fine.
Good morning, council members. My name is Mr. Michael Gilson and Sr., and I reside at 30891 Sandy Ridge Drive, Lewis, Delaware. I speak today to object to the proposal to amend Chapter Section 99, Section 9932. It is my belief that this proposal will weaken the intent of the Delaware Uniform Common Interest Ownership Act that was put into effect July 2009. My own personal experience has been that landowners and developers will underfund bonds for most projects. When such projects fail to meet the county's expectations and basic requirements, the posted bonds are not sufficient to cover the needs of the development or the requirements of the county. We have all seen this too many times here in Sussex County. I am currently an injured party at my development, Oak Crest Farms. Our developer was allowed to underfund his bond for phase three of our community, and now the county is having to correct the developer's shortfalls with limited funds from a bond that will not be enough to complete the project that was approved by the county. Needless to say, many homeowners will suffer, and the county has another project to oversee with insufficient funds due to inadequate bonding. It is my opinion that the county should be looking to increase bonding amounts instead of lowering the bar for a group of landowners or developers that at any given time may walk away from their responsibilities. I object to what's been said here in a lot of cases. I think that we are remiss as a county, as a council, we need to do more to protect the homeowners and the possible buyers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker. Yes, sir, in the back of the room.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Doug Simpson. I live at 13809 Haven Road, Bridgeville, Delaware. I've listened to many of these comments, and I think that there is some misunderstood information about what's being said here and what this proposal is trying to outline. I'm in favor of this bill, and I'm asking that it be passed. No one's asking that someone who's bought a lot be subjected to more risk. The risk that's there is the same risk that everybody faces when they buy a home. What I understand this bill to do is to give the opportunity to put in infrastructure without extra cost that will be in place, that, and we're paying an extra fee on top of it. When many times we hear people talk about homes in New Jersey, Baltimore, Pennsylvania, that are $200,000 and $300,000, and we come to Sussex County and that same home is $50,000, $75,000 less, and we wonder why. Well, developers don't make $50,000 more in New Jersey. It's the cost of regulation in New Jersey. It's the cost of regulation in Pennsylvania. This reduction in bonding is only for work that's already done. No one can buy a home or receive title to a property and be put at risk by this ordinance. This ordinance will simply provide an opportunity for folks that are trying to develop land not to be saddled with more cost. County needs affordable housing to put more cost. Right now, currently, to get a bond, banks are requiring cash. So not only do you have to front the money for the infrastructure, now you have to front cash for the bonding. It's impossible. So again, you're just adding to the cost of a home. You're defeating the cost to a homeowner. You're raising that value of their home by regulation. So again, and I'm not trying to say that we should weaken a homeowners or put them more at liable. What I'm saying is once that work is substantially done, before any deeds are transferred, that we only bond the work that's uncompleted. I wouldn't expect anyone to take buy a lot that didn't have some protections for uncompleted work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak with regard to this ordinance? Yes, sir.
Mr. President, members of council, good morning. My name is John Walsh. I live at 48 Colonial Lane in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I listened very carefully to the comments today and the presentation by Mr. Robertson. My feeling is this. I go along with Councilman Wilson. If it's not broke, don't fix it. We have heard already that the current situation from different homeowners is not good, that the current bonding situation is insufficient in many cases, and that oversight has not been what it should be. Bonding is made to protect people and that work be done according to code and up to standard. Without the bonding, basically you're saying that our inspection areas and the inspection of areas of the government have to go back and keep track of what was going on over the course possibly of years and make sure things are done properly. Now, if the inspections are not sufficient now, are you willing to employ more inspectors in the future, add people to the deed section of county government to keep track of all that's going on? Because what's happening with this ordinance is more and more work is being piled on just keeping track of things. Whereas if you have a bond that comes on in the beginning, at least there's some hope of proper completion.
If I could respond to that, just so that there's no misunderstandings. In either the case of sewers or site work, there is, as I mentioned, two agreements that have been developed, and there still would be inspections ongoing from the point that somebody gets a notice to proceed on either the sewer or the site work. So, and there's administration fees and inspection fees that currently are paid and would still be paid regardless of how this ordinance turns out. So there are, I don't want there to be any misconceptions that because there's no bond, there's also no inspections. The inspections are still occurring in the same manner that they would or that they currently do.
Oh, I agree with that, sir.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that because the work becomes stretched out, possibly over time, you're going to have people keep a closer eye and basically keep track of what's going on over the span of possibly years. And that's going to involve some more paperwork at the very least.
Yeah. I will say from my experience in reviewing letters of credits and bonds currently for the county that, again, I hear the concern. I don't know that that's not something that we currently see, too, because with multiple letters of credit, they seem to renew annually as it is. So we still sort of have that same issue. So
I understand, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The final thing I'd like to bring up is this a critical problem? We have heard one person speak in support. All we have heard so far is a potential individual is complaining about the situation. Now, does that mean if I want to complain about possibly getting a ticket for going through a red light, I should go to the state government and request that penalties for going through red light should be eliminated? If this is a chronic problem, then it's something that should be addressed. But I tend to agree with Mr. Cole that it should probably be sunsetted if this is because of the economy, rather than say, oh, we'll look at it in a couple of years. And I've attended enough council meetings where somebody says, oh, shouldn't we have done that a few years back? And people just don't keep track of that. So my feeling is I don't think this is a pressing need, or at least it hasn't been demonstrated. Secondly, there's the potential for added cost or inconvenience and added work for the county. And if there's that serious a problem, it should be sunsetted. All right, if the economy is such it requires it, then let it be sunsetted in 2 years. If it's still a serious problem with the economy, then it can be renewed in 2 years. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. I have a question. You talked about there's going to be agreements.
There currently are agreements that we have.
I didn't read them in this bill.
No, well, that's the same as, you know, we talk about Ordinance 38 a lot, and you've probably heard that. That was the ordinance that established how expansions of...
No new agreements, though.
No, there wouldn't be any.
Okay.
And the agreements are used to implement what the ordinance says. I mean, and that's what we did with the site work. We looked at what the ordinances said and then developed an agreement to, you know, flesh that out.
Well, there will be new agreements.
Well, I don't think there will be new agreements. There will be amendments to the existing ones because the current ones have bonding requirements in them. Mm-hmm. And so that language would be amended.
So it'll just put the bill into the ordinance into effect.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Is there anyone else who would like to speak with regard to the ordinance? The gentleman in the back row?
Yes, Dale Wheatley, live in Bridgefield, Delaware. I think these people have got their whole idea wrong. You know, there's no more risk than there was before. And, you know, they changed this law back in 2 or 3 years ago. And we're just trying to get it changed back like it was before. But, you know, we're still got inspectors. We're paying for inspector fees. And it's all being... inspected, and you know we're not going to sell any houses until we have a bond anyway. So why is there any more risk changing it back like it was than it is now? I don't see the difference. Everybody acts like it's going to be more risk to the homeowners. There's not. No difference at all. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. I see there's another gentleman who wishes to speak.
Oh, there's another gentleman.
Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. First question I have, can you legally put it into the ordinance to sunset it in 2 years? I have that question. Can it legally be done? I kind of doubt it. But that's beside the point. The point of the matter is, it totally amazes me. If you can't sell a piece of property, because the man, all he wants to do is go out here, has a piece of property. He wants to build a road. You've already approved it. You've approved the property for him to develop it. So all he wants to do is put in roads, put in some sewer, right? That's all he wants to do. He can't sell 1 inch of that property. Nothing. So who's being hurt? Nobody. Gee.
Give me a break.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Generally, we only allow one trip per customer.
Even though somebody else may inspire you to speak, we don't want to get into that.
I have been inspired.
I can see that in your expression.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
There is a new face.
Yes, ma'am.
And a smiling face.
Hi. My name is Pat Bianchi. I also live in Redwood, and I have my concerns about the change to this ordinance. I'm concerned with the tracking of the sale of the properties. We've been told that property can't be sold until a bond is in place to finish the rest of the infrastructure. How do we track that? I understand from reading some of the articles in the paper that there were some concerns about the tracking of the sale of properties. How do we ensure that that doesn't happen? And when it comes to if it's not broke, don't fix it, I agree with that. We've had a system in place, and it just seems to me and a lot of my fellow residents in Redwood that we're weakening that system. We're weakening the system of protection for consumers and people moving into this county. So I'm voicing my opposition.
And I can respond to that question about tracking, because this ordinance was developed in conjunction with the folks that would have to deal with it and implement it. And that was one of the things that we talked about. The building permits, there's a computer system within the county that tracks all property. So if somebody goes to get a building permit, mm-hmm. it's entered into the system, and it would, simplifying, but it would flash that it says no building permits are allowed, and it'd be coded as to why. So you wouldn't be able to get one. With the land transfers, the way we need to do it is put it on the record title of the property, and that was the form that we talked about to do that. The reason being is that it's more of a practical matter the way deeds are presented to the recorder of deeds. We need to have it so that somebody would know it's there when they do a title search before they try to record something. Now, there would also be means within the county mapping and addressing folks, for example, that they would also recognize that there was no bond, because it would again come up on the computer system at that point.
And when a bond expires, what happens? Has the county flagged when a bond expires? Is the county notified in advance when a bond is going to expire?
The county now has a good system in place where if their bonds typically don't expire, it's letters of credit. If a letter of credit expires, what we do is we know when the expiration date is, and a letter will be sent to the bank, whoever issued the letter of credit, and say, your letter of credit is, and also the developer, your letter of credit is set to expire on XYZ date. Please give us your intentions to either renew it or, take some other action. If no response is received or no satisfactory response is received or it's not renewed, then that letter of credit is called at this point. Same thing, if a bond, if we get notice that a bond's being terminated, we'll do the same thing.
So then what happens?
Then what happens is if the letter of credit is called in, mm-hmm. we follow the instructions that are in that letter of credit, present it to whatever bank it is, they honor it, and they then send the county the money to complete the work. And the county then bids it out and does the work that needs to be done to complete the project that was covered by the bond. With bonds, it's a little bit different in that the bonding company itself has the opportunity to complete the work, and bonds tend to be a little bit more complex, but it's the same result.
That would be if there's enough money to complete the project in that letter of credit or bond.
Yeah, I mean, and the bonds or letters of credit are, again, based on 125% of the estimated cost to complete the project.
10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I suppose as I was hearing those comments, one thing that comes to mind, though, is that, you know, with this, this, frankly, may be a little bit of an improvement because some of the work would be done. You know, we would have a better snapshot of the cost of the remaining work, you know, at the time they need to get their bond. So it may be even more accurate of an estimate of what remains to be done, which is sort of an
if too much time goes by, we could see spikes in cost of materials that could affect that number we have got set.
And I'll give a perfect example that the county engineering department deals with. It's the cost of asphalt. I mean, that is a cost that an estimate is generated on, and in 2 years or even less than that, that can change. You know, so we currently, you know, frankly, and I don't know the way around that aside from, you know, a drastic increase in the bonding requirements, but, you know, that's not really possible either. So,
well, I see here, I think you're better off in having this project done. As a buyer, if I went to buy this piece of property, I would see the roads and the sewer in, and if I, and the other way, if I didn't do it this way, it would be on a promise. A bond is a promise that they're going to do it. The state, the county holds the bonds, and it may not get done. You say, well, it could got lost or something. This way, you see the project. You see the roads. Everything is the way it should be done, the way you like to see it done. If it's not the way you like it, it's done, then don't buy the property. I think you're far better off by having it this direction and taking the other direction. I actually think you're – I think people are a loser by taking promises going into a bond situation. I think you're better to see the project done. I don't understand where the argument's at. I think you're far better off with this project going being finished before you move in.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak with regard to the matter? Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning. I'm Bobby Hemrick from Lewis. I'm not even certain that this is a pertinent question right this moment, but I have to bring up the fiasco that has occurred with the Extreme Makeover project. Was that bonded with the Reverend Dale Dunning? A very worthy project, but look at the mess that has occurred because of not enough oversight. I just feel that the county needs to oversee things. We should not be, I'm speaking against this ordinance. But I think it's a good question. Look at the mess that's happening here.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak with regard to the pending ordinance? Going once, going twice. There's been a request to leave the record open. I'll leave it to the pleasure of council how you want to proceed. I think that was one of the members of the audience before I closed the record.
Wait, there's a letter that Everett said he would read.
There's a letter from Valerie.
He said he would read it into the record at the hearing.
Right here. He held that one off from the beginning of the day.
Oh, okay.
Valerie right Cloutier. Here. Right. Just read that, please.
I will certainly read it. This is a letter from Valerie Cloutier. I apologize if I said that wrong. It's regarding the proposed ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Section 99-32 of the County Code. As explained below, I oppose in its entirety the proposed ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Section 99-32 of the Sussex County Code by eliminating the performance bond requirement for land development. The purpose of a performance bond is to guarantee compensation for monetary loss if a developer fails to construct an improvement according to the specifications and code requirements. However, the proposed amendment eliminates the performance bond requirement for all improvements set out in Chapter 99, Section 99-32A, until a lot is sold or transferred or a residential building permit or zoning permit is issued. The improvements listed in Section 99-32A include street and road improvements, surface drainage facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, water supply facilities, sanitary sewer facilities, forested and or landscape buffer strips, all areas approved as open space as defined by Chapter 99-5, and other improvements deemed necessary by the commission or required by the subdivision ordinance. The purported reason for eliminating the performance bond requirement is to stimulate job growth by allowing a developer without the means to secure a performance bond to proceed to construct improvements, then entice a buyer to purchase a lot. In my view, however, a developer who cannot afford a performance bond should not be constructing improvements on land that will then be put up for sale. The effect of the proposed amendment is to eliminate any guarantee for monetary compensation if the buyer of a lot with any of the above-listed improvements finds that the improvement was done unsatisfactorily. The buyer has no recourse. Of course, the buyer can sue the developer, but if the developer cannot afford a performance bond in the first place, the developer has no assets and may well have gone out of business. The proposed amendment, if enacted, violates the fiduciary responsibility of the Sussex County Council to promote the health, safety, and welfare of residents of Sussex County and promote the orderly growth of the county. If enacted, the only result will be the promotion of the interests of shoddy developers. For all these reasons, I respectfully request each member of the Sussex County Council to oppose the passage of the proposed ordinance amendment.
Can other assets be put up in lieu of a bond?
In the discussions we've had with county engineering, we prefer not to do that, only because if you start creating all kinds of different means of doing it.
Well, I'm just looking at the cash that's hard to get these days, but maybe the builder or developer has other substantial assets elsewhere that could be, you know, a form of guarantee of completion somehow. I'm just thinking, you know.
I mean, it's always possible to sort of think outside the box and ways to do that. And I think my advice would be that the county shouldn't discount that completely, but really should take a hard look at each one on an individual basis. Because if you start doing that, it gets harder to track and harder to manage than if you have a letter of credit.
We become like
a
lender.
Cash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. We always want to keep in our mind there's one owner here, or maybe a partnership. But the third party has not yet bought this property. So there's no way they can be cheated. No way, because they don't own it. They haven't bought it. They pay no down payment. They've done nothing. This individual is developing his own property. He's putting his own sewer in. He's putting his own roads in. Nothing has been sold to any of these people that's complaining. They don't own a dime. They don't have a dime in it. Till that project is finished. And then they come and look at it at their satisfaction. Then they have the right to buy that piece of property. Nobody can be cheated on a bond or nothing because they don't own it. How can you be cheated if you don't have a dime in it? The developer himself is what has all the money, has made all his investments. No one else has made an investment here. I don't have a dime in it. He cannot cheat me. The only way he can't even cheat me when it comes to inspections, because I have relied upon my county inspectors to do an inspection the same as if it was bonded. The same inspectors do the same job. There is no difference. I just don't get it, what you're saying here. Some of your accusations are so far to the left, I don't understand it. Some of you are here just because you want to say I'm against it. But be honest with yourself and say, where is the loser here? Why are we so against private property owners doing with their own property what they like to do? And then when it becomes available, you certainly have a right. You have more of a vision seeing the property done than you would if you were just going there and taking a promise. And whoever's selling this property, Mr. Wheatley came up, he could say, well, I'm promised to finish this property and he doesn't have anything in. And you're going to have to rely on him, hoping that he keeps his word between him, the county, the bondholders, everybody else. But if this piece of property is done, you see it with your own eyes, county inspected, I don't know where the argument's at.
If I understand it, then... I'm sorry, thank you. It's tough to get a bond right now, and the banks are asking for cash up front. Why is it that they may be willing to issue a bond after these other improvements have been in only because of the value of those? What are they premising that on?
I think
that they would be willing all of a sudden to issue that bond.
Yeah, and that's a good question. I think that in the banking situation that everybody's in now, that's always going to be hard to get a bond or letter of credit and expensive. But say if you can get 50% of your infrastructure in before, you know, you need to get your bond or letter of credit, obviously the amount of that letter of credit and the cost of getting it would, in that example be half, you know, because you would only be bonding or securing 50% of the original cost of the infrastructure, because that's all that's left to do.
But you said it would be bonding all the work, the primary, the preliminary work, and the housing. And the...
No, if I said that, I misspoke. It would be bonding the work that remains to be done, and as part of that estimate that's done to determine that amount, built into that is guarantee amounts or warranty amounts, because that's covered in both the agreements. So it would not bond the work that's already been done, because that's been completed.
But that can go wrong.
Well, that's what the guarantee or the warranty part that's in the agreements would cover.
So, oh, the agreements would take care of that?
Right. I mean, that's the same as the bonding that we have now. You know, it covers warranties or guarantees after the work's completed. You know, once that has occurred, the bond's released currently. Mm-hmm. You know, so if, heaven forbid, there's a problem later on, I mean, the project's been inspected to determine that there shouldn't be any problems. But at some point, we've got to release that project from county jurisdiction, and that occurs, and you know, everybody moves forward. So that's really unchanged with this ordinance amendment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Cole.
The synopsis I kind of came to, there was one of these letters in opposition from a local realtor. And he talked about underfunded landowners, and he says that, you know, there's things that this won't, it does not ensure that a construction will be complete, you know, and keep the status quo, he says, because it's worked. He says the supply and demand does affect the price. And properties are getting cheaper just because there's a correction going on in the marketplace, not so much about the bonding and these other things. So, but, Sam, you're right. I think that the third party is still at an arm's length in this whole thing and is not going to be immediately affected. But I am concerned because I've sat here for so many years and talked about things about reviewing and sunsetting. So I would, again, I think there was some support initially for sunsetting. I don't think it's going to hurt. It'll get you to the goal you're talking about, and we'll see. But I know that very many times, things are said we're going to review them a couple years ago, but we forgot we even had it. Who, you know, nobody knows what's going on. And the other question is the sunsetting question that somebody brought up. Is it legal? Are you comfortable with thinking that an ordinance like this can be sunsetted?
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, so that's not an issue. So I would say that I think that. We've got a lot of people that have got some concerns. I think a lot of them are legitimate, but I think some of Sam's comments are on the mark also. So why don't we defer on this and look to see if we can put sunsetting into the wording or if we can do it now. And I think if we did that, I think that we, if the reason is the economy, this will get us over the hump, and we'll see how it works. So that's where I can work with you, Sam, on something like this, so I don't think it's unreasonable to ask that we get a consensus to put sunsetting into the ordinance. It's called compromising and trying to get something done and moving forward.
Well, based on Mr. Cole's suggestion, I sort of put together some language that would be added to the ordinance to accomplish that.
Okay, we can do it today.
I'll just read it for your consideration at this point. That an additional sentence be added at the end of subsection D to state that this ordinance and this subsection D of section 99-32 of chapter 99 of the Code of Sussex County shall automatically sunset and expire 2 years from the date of its adoption.
I'm fine with that. Is there any concerns about that, gentlemen? Ladies? Anybody?
That's to add the sunsetting provision.
We're going to put that in as we discuss this bill further.
Keeping in mind, too, going back a second, we need to close the public record if that's
right.
Council's desire.
Be closed.
And then there were the three, well, now two, I think, because the recommendation that it be reviewed, that's been replaced by the suggestion on sunsetting. So there's two suggestions for amendments to the ordinance that came from planning and zoning.
And the nice thing about sunsetting, it will require us to review it.
Yes.
It will require.
It'll just end.
Right. You know.
So if it's sunsetted, we wouldn't be taking property rights away from anybody. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If that, any other concerns from council, we'll close the public hearing and close the public record.
Yes, sir.
And then we will,
if you would like, I'll
have Mr. Robertson read the short title.
With the and then it's amended. We want to see the amended version, Mr. Rowe, right? Correct?
Yes.
Yes, President.
To vote later.
And what I can do is the ordinance is short enough, I think I can just read it in its entirety.
Sure.
With the amendments in it. The title is An Ordinance to Amend Chapter 99, Section 99-32 of the Code of Sussex County to allow a landowner to perform site work or construct certain improvements without posting a bond or performance guarantee. And the ordinance itself, the ordinance amendment, again, was 99-32, Bonds and Guarantees, and it adds a new subsection D, which states, notwithstanding the preceding subparts of this section, no performance bond or other guarantee shall be required for improvements required by the application of this chapter upon lands owned by the party seeking to construct the improvements, provided, however, that no lots shall be sold or transferred and no residential building permits or zoning permits shall be issued until, one, all required improvements are constructed and substantial completion is issued, or, two, a bond or guarantee is posted in accordance with subparts A, B, and C of this section. In the event no bond or other guarantee is provided, a notice in the form acceptable to the county attorney shall be recorded in the office of the Recorder of Deeds, putting the public on notice that no transfer or sale of lots is permitted in the development until such bond or other guarantee is provided as required by this section. This ordinance and this subsection D of section 99-32 of Chapter 99 of the Code of Sussex County shall automatically sunset and expire 2 years from the date of its adoption.
I'll make a motion we adopt the ordinance as read.
I'll second it.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second Mr. Wilson, to adopt the ordinance as read into the record. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Well, from the experience that I've had for 3 years with people who have substantial investments and own their own property and can't get their developments completed for various reasons, you may notice that a lot of these people who testify were from the 3rd District, where we've had an additional 10,000 people in the past 10 years and a lot of developments. I have a concern about the way it's been going and the tracking. And quite honestly, I don't think we do a good job of tracking, didn't do a good job of tracking, and I'm very concerned about it. We're having trouble getting banks to come across with the money now. They're struggling. We're struggling with them. They are requiring all kinds of documents. And it's, in my mind, from the information I have now, it's questionable as to whether we can really get the money or not to complete these projects. It's up in the air. The problem with Redwood's been up in the air for 3 years. and so that's what I'm concerned about. And I hear the bond guarantees all work, and then I hear the bond doesn't guarantee all work. It guarantees the building of the buildings only. So I'm really not convinced that this is a good idea. But I agree with Mr. Wilson that we do need to do something to help folks stimulate the economy and grow jobs. But in my district, my experience on council has been caution. Extreme caution. So I can't vote for this.
That's a no vote?
Right.
Okay, Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes for it because of the two-year sunsetting. But I want to qualify that. I don't think there is a crisis here because, like I said, we've had one person basically raise the issue, and we've been doing it a certain way for many years. We've actually made some improvements. So, but because it's a two-year sunsetting provision is part of this, it'll give us a chance to see if something like this does do anything for the economy, which I question all that, and if it will make it easier. I do understand that the banks are very tight with their money nowadays, and it's very difficult to do things. So I'll vote yes. So.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes. I think there's very limited risk to the ultimate owner, third party, as we're calling them, and I do believe there are developers out there that are ready to make the call to construction companies to get in and do some work, and anything we can do to put people back to work, I think it's a good thing at this juncture. I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes, and I think I've already gave my explanation.
I've thought about this a lot, but I just don't see really, I think the person that ultimately is taking all the risk is a developer. Amen. And the big risk is they could spend a lot of money and put infrastructure in and for some reason not be able to get a bond or letter of credit. It just sits there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it's a lot of their money sitting there. I can't believe they're going to, you know, but that's... I think it deserves a chance. I think if somebody wants to move forward with their own development, certainly the third party is not hurt because they don't own anything until after the bond is already received. So I'm going to vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Robertson. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, sir.
And then here comes Everett. And Everett's just in time for proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore, you're in the hot seat. Introduction, proposed zoning ordinances.
There are none.
There are none. Thank you, Robin.
I'm sorry, I asked the wrong person. Mr. Laws, would you check our sign-up sheet in the back, please? We're entering now into any additional business brought before council. It was requested, I think, last week that we modify our sign-up sheet. And the sign-up sheet has now been modified and says our red council rule 17.6, a copy of which is attached here too, bring a public comment during additional business and agree to abide by said policy at all times. Please limit comments to matters that pertain to county business.
With chips,
and they simply put their name and address.
You're making the.
Now then, let me get my sheet here. Mike Gilsonan, G-I-L-S-E-N-A-N-S-A-W, maybe Gilsonall.
I think he was one of the speakers earlier.
Okay, Esther Shelton. Mrs. Shelton.
There is.
Okay. Gordon Gearson.
He always spoke.
He already spoke to it.
And Dan Kramer.
You want to come back, Dan? Yep, here he comes.
My name is Dan Kramer. It's been a while. And during the last 3-4 months where I haven't been here, I've been doing a lot of research. And I'll tell you what, I think it ought to be mandatory that every one of you guys had to read every regulation this county has. Maybe you'd learn something. I'd hardly doubt it, but it might help you. And you guys say, we are your business partner. I got news for you. You ain't no business partner of mine. Now, what I want to know, why is it when somebody comes in to get something approved, and you guys approve it, but then you tell him he has to go to the Board of Adjustment because he's going to be too close to the line? Who runs this county? You guys are the Board of Assessment. And if you approve it, then you ought to have the final say, not some other idiot bunch. So give me a break. Remove the stupid ordinances and get it correctly. I agree with you on one issue. Hey, the landowner is being screwed any way you want to look at it. It doesn't matter because you guys got the power and you're using it.
Our next thing, we can go into recess with a motion until 1:30 for public hearings.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second to recess to 1:30 public hearings. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. 1:30 public hearings.
Yeah, I mean, I got the original, but...